Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the podcast. I think this is going to be fairly short. I was going to do it last night, but I said, well, there's not going to be a trial today, so I'm going to have the recap of Friday on today. But during the week, when they're there, I will update you every night on what went on. I saw somebody, I think, commented maybe on Patreon, and I dug into it a little bit, and I made a blind about it today, but it's just, who's supporting Ghislaine? Why are they doxing Jane Doe? Does everybody know who Jane Doe is? Yeah. But she's asked to be Jane Doe, so let's call her Jane Doe. I don't get the whole thing about harassing employers and stuff like that, and her family. I mean, her family is pretty awful. If you dig into it a little bit. And just the fact that they enabled all of this. But that doesn't take away from the fact that, you know, it's Ghislaine who's on trial. Don't blame the victim. And I see a lot of that. And that's why I make it very clear. I might talk about how the prosecution is not doing a great job, but again, it doesn't mean that I don't want Ghislaine convicted. And I noticed a couple of people talking online. Just the prosecutors were... It's almost as if the government's not taking this seriously. Because when you go to trial against the federal government, your odds of winning are pretty close to zero. I mean, if you have some really, really good lawyers, you know, you might have a 5% chance or something. But the government's, you know, they got a bunch of young people. I'm not sure. I mean, how experienced are they? The defense is extremely experienced, and they're really playing the game well. When you think about the cross-examination, it's been, especially when they cross-examine Jane Doe, they're not victim-shaming. they're because that's just not going to get it done. They're poking holes, and they're emphasizing the I don't recall. Because that's what Jane Doe said most of the time. And I get the whole I don't recall about the memories from 1994, 95. I get that 100%. Especially when you got abuse involved. But that's not what they're hammering in on. Because I think everybody understands the fact that you're not going to get your timeline exactly right when you're 14, 15 years old. And the fact that it was 25 years ago. But what they're hammering in on is the I don't recall from the 2019 interviews with the feds, or 2020. And Jane Doe said, yeah, I had trial prep. The prosecutors prepped me. And it just didn't come across that well. I think that I'm not blaming Jane Doe. I think that the prosecutor should have said, instead of saying I don't recall over and over and over and over and over again, they should have given her some kind of answer, considering she'd been prepped. Obviously, the whole memory's not linear. That was probably something that they gave. But memory is not linear kind of is just not a great response. And like I said, I don't think Jane Doe is the one that should have had to do that. I think that the prosecutor should have said, this is what we want you to say. Instead of saying, I don't recall, say, I was processing a bunch of memories at the time. And the one thing that she did say where I never talked about it and all of this, I think that would have been helpful. Something more like that than I don't recall. Because what happens is when you're saying I don't recall the stuff that's just a couple of years old, it gives you less credibility for other stuff. And the problem that the prosecutors are also going to have, not so much with Jane, but with the with Juan Alessi especially, is that they've got a bunch of skeletons in their own closet, which is another reason why you don't want to bring on other victims / turn procurers. And the defense has been pretty confident in this. In the pretrial motions, I went back and looked. The things that they were able to get out is pretty crazy. And you had one Alessi when he's the cross-examined by a guy, basically the only male attorney on the defense team. And right during the cross-examination, Alessi admits to stealing from Epstein once. That was on Thursday. He said, yeah, I stole from him. But then on Friday, he admitted in the past that he had stolen a second time. And the whole line of questioning was, is it true that you stole the money to pay for your girlfriend's immigration papers? And Alessi said, well, it was not my girlfriend, but didn't deny that it was for some immigration papers. And then the attorney, the defense attorney reads aloud from law enforcement and court records what Alessi had previously said about stealing from Epstein. And Alessi conceded that he had previously described making two separate visits to Epstein's house and taking money both times. And the defense attorney confronts him with a record of one of his older statements and asks whether, is this true? And Alessi goes, well, yeah, I guess I did steal a second time. And that's what they're doing. The defense attorneys are just doing a remarkable job of blowing up holes. Alessi was probably, at the beginning, especially on direct, and what I talked about in Thursday's recap, is he's the first person who kind of put, first of all, underage people on the scene, and putting them together with Maxwell, and putting Jane Doe together with Maxwell. So that's pretty important. But then it goes to the credibility. Well, you first of all, you steal. So maybe we shouldn't believe you. Second of all, you lied about how many times you stole. So why should we believe you? It's a bad look. You obviously, the prosecution knows about the theft, but they decided, well, we just need to get him to put the two together. And that's important. And he testified that after one of Epstein's massage sessions, which he said took place behind closed doors, you remember at the end he said, oh, by the time I left, they were happening three times a day, that he found a sizable sex toy, which he picked up and deposited into a wicker basket in a bathroom used by Ghislaine. And he did say that two girls who appeared to be underage, this is the first time, remember, on Thursday when he said this, including Jane. And he began sexually abusing her when she was 14. And Juan said, oh, I think she was 14 or 15. But, he doesn't know, but he's going to say 14 or 15 because he was prepped to say that. And he also said that Jane Doe spent time with Epstein and Maxwell. And he also said that both Epstein and Maxwell instructed him to pick Jane up in a car. So not just Epstein, but also Maxwell. So it's really important his testimony was the first. And it also established this sex atmosphere kind of thing at Epstein's house. But again, it's not Epstein who's on trial. It's Ghislaine. So it's good that he was able to connect Ghislaine. And again, the massage thing came up where massages were synonymous with sexual activity. And our prosecution, our expert, of course, remember, also said that massages were the way to go. Alessi also said that the Maxwell's was the lady of the house, if you will. That was kind of her thing. And he was very clear about that, and also said that Maxwell was also there to help Epstein, not necessarily to procure women or girls, but also to make Epstein appear more civilized. Because he's from Long Island, tell him what fork to use, everything like that. And then we also finally heard that Maxwell was always worried that Epstein was going to dump her, that he wouldn't need her anymore. And that's really important, too, because it shows that she would do anything to stay. But again, it can also lead to that point where was she a victim? Was she being controlled? Did she have this carrot dangling over her head? You do what I say, or all this money goes away. And I talked about that a little bit on Thursday. A very interesting first week. I think what everybody's hoping for is just the whole specter of Epstein in the background. And just the whole focus on criminals getting what they deserve for preying on underage people. I think that that's extremely important. And that the jury is going to maybe overlook some of these holes, or the I don't recalls, or Alessi maybe not being the most perfect moral person, especially if you think about if these girls were 14 or 15 and he continued working for Epstein and didn't say anything to anybody. So the jury might go, well, why isn't he on trial too? Well, because he's cooperating with the prosecution. But there's so many instances when all of this went on where you had adults not doing anything, not saying anything. You know, why didn't Alessi say, okay, this girl's 14, I'm going to call the cops? Because he also wanted the high-paying job. So he was willing to let that slide. And then 25 years later, he's, oh, yeah, Epstein, he's a horrible person and stuff. But why didn't you call somebody? But I think that the jurors, because of what's going on, are maybe going to overlook that. And they're going to overlook what happened, you know, with Jane Doe's parents and just glossing over that. Because everybody wants somebody convicted. We couldn't get Epstein convicted. Somebody killed him. But we have a second chance here with Ghislaine. So let's just prosecute her for what Epstein did. Regardless of if the prosecution can prove their case or not, we've got somebody here. We know that she's horrible. Let's just prosecute her and we'll forget about all this other stuff. Because there hasn't been a ton. We have Alessi. And that's about it. And then we have Jane Doe testifying on her own behalf that it happened. But you have the whole, she had never mentioned that Maxwell was involved or another person or anything like that until 2019. And then, you know, so it's very difficult situation. So I'm hoping that everything can overcome that in the jurors' minds and that they can still convict. All right, you guys, I will talk to you later.